Thank you so much, Kevy. Good morning, everyone. Good to see you all. I know we jam-packed this morning, and it's quite warm inside, so I won't preach for too long. And everybody said?
Amen.
There we go. But don't forget to help yourselves. There's a building fund available to help us create more space. Help yourselves. And of course, if you want a peaceful and quiet service, you've got the 10 o'clock to choose. You've got the 6 o'clock to choose as well. So all these options are available. What an exciting Wednesday we had with over 120 people packed into the hall to get stuck into some wonderful discipleship material. It was incredible. It was wonderful. But as I say, in Africa, there's always room for one more. And so if you want to add to that group and come and get some wonderful teaching and discussion on a Wednesday night, you're welcome to come and join us. Just give Jeanette your name, and it'll be fantastic to have you as part of that team. Thank you, Haley, for promoting my little book, Ordinary People. It's been such a joy to write that book and to make it available to people. And this morning I've got them available in the hall behind me, and I'm saying it's a free-for-all because no one's going to man that table. Just go and help yourself. If you've got money, you can pay. If you haven't got money and you can't afford it, please help yourself. It's just there to bless you and help you. So just go and help yourselves with those books. Right, as we've launched the year, we've looked at a number of things that we'd like to incorporate into our lives and our faith this year. Firstly, we looked at love and compassion 2 weeks ago. Last week, we looked at servanthood. And this week, I'd like us to consider joy and peace. And so, wouldn't it be amazing to live 2018 with joy and peace in our hearts? Well, with that in mind, let's turn in God's Word to Philippians chapter 4 and read some wonderful words from verse 4 to verse 7. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 to verse 7. Here we go. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And I love verse 7. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Father, thank you for this beautiful word. It is so full of encouraging truth. And I pray, Lord, for those today who are struggling with anxiety and stress and fear. Lord, for those who've got a lack of joy in their lives. But Lord, for all of us as we face this year, may we receive impartation from you this morning. May we leave this place with a joy and a peace in our hearts. Father, for those who couldn't be here this morning, who are in hospital, who are sick, who are elderly, I think especially of Evie Tarr, Father, lying in St. Dominic's, we just pray for your grace and your love to be their portion this morning. Father, wherever they are, may they know that there are people back home thinking of them, loving them, and praying for them. And so, Father, we thank you for this word. Won't you speak powerfully into our hearts this morning? We ask it in Jesus' great name. Amen. Well, Paul begins in verse 7 with some very interesting words, especially if you consider his predicament at the time. If you're not familiar with the book of Philippians, Philippians was written by the Apostle Paul. You may know that. But Paul, at the stage he wrote this particular letter, was sitting in a Roman jail cell. So he wasn't comfortable. He was facing torture. He was facing imprisonment and possible death. And he writes to a church about 10 years old that he helped to plant in northern Greece in the city of Philippi. And so that's the context. He's writing from a jail cell in a very difficult and dangerous situation. And that's why I find his words in verse 7 quite significant. In fact, astonishing. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Given his predicament, torture, imprisonment, and death, I find those words astonishing. And as I prepared this message, those words brought back to my mind a song we sung when I was very much younger. And I went, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice. That might bring back some memories to some of you as well. We sung that song growing up, and they were based on the words of Paul in Philippians chapter 4. But look carefully at what Paul says. Notice very carefully, he says, I'm not rejoicing in my imprisonment. I'm not rejoicing because evil men are conspiring against me. That's not what he says. Look carefully at what he says. He says, I'm rejoicing in the Lord. That's my source of joy. I can't control what's happening around me. I'm in a prison cell. I may not escape. The Roman Empire and evil people are conspiring against me. But I'm declaring my source of joy is not circumstantial. The source of my joy is in the Lord. That's powerful. You see, friends, in the Lord means there's a supernatural, Holy Spirit-given joy that can be your portion, irrespective of your circumstances. Circumstances change from moment to moment, from time to time. We can't control circumstances. They fluctuate. And you may have tried at various times in your life to find joy, to find happiness through a variety of different means. And for a period of time, you may well have succeeded. Something may have temporarily filled that gap and given you joy and happiness for that moment. Last night in Gunubi, many people's theme song as they searched for happiness went something like this. Ho, ho, ho. To the bottle I go, to heal my heart and drown my woe. And this morning I woke up and felt like death warmed up. But for a moment of time, that bottle, that substance provided something, but it wasn't lasting, it was just temporary. Friends, joy is different. Listen carefully to this. The joy Paul's speaking about is not dependent on circumstances. His joy is sourced in God who never changes. This is critical. Circumstances always change. The Bible says Jesus never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His love, His goodness, His kindness, His provision, His protection is always the same. Find your source of joy in Him. We want to pray a little bit later that some of you will experience that joy even this morning. But secondly, our main focus for this morning is Paul speaks about peace in verse 7. Let me just reread the verse to you. He says, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Again, if you do some research into the original language, you'll discover that word peace that Paul uses is not a superficial peace. A lot of people in our day and age talk about peace, but this peace is a significant peace. It's a God-given, supernatural peace. The original word is the word shalom. It's a deep peace that you feel in your spirit, man, that is there regardless of what's going on around you. That's the peace Paul speaks about. It goes beyond human comprehension. The mind can't comprehend it. How Eve Tarr, for example, can be lying in St. Dominic's, facing an uncertain future, riddled with cancer potentially, and yet she can be lying there in perfect peace. The human mind says no. Cancer means anxiety and stress and fear. Paul says no, this peace that God gives you is most powerfully manifest in the hard times of life. It's a God-given peace. It goes beyond human comprehension. It's an extraordinary peace. And so some of you might say this morning, Mark, how do I get that peace? I want it. I need it. I need that peace in my life. Well, Paul gives us the answer in verse 6. Here's how you get the peace. He says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Now, let's just unpack that verse for a moment. When does Paul say we should pray? He says we should pray when? In every situation. You see, some of us have made the mistake of becoming crisis prayers. We crisis Christians. In fact, our go-to word is, help me. We only pray when a crisis presents itself. When we feel we're out of our depth, we can't cope. And all of a sudden we turn to God and we say, Lord, help me. And God in His grace, in His mercy, helps those kinds of people as well. But don't be a crisis prayer. Be a consistent prayer. Learn what it means to walk with God, to communicate with God, to pray as you drive with your eyes open. Pray as you wash the dishes, ladies. Paul, are you taking notes? Men, pray as you bra. Learn to not compartmentalize your faith, but learn to integrate your faith into every sphere of life, that no matter what you're doing, you're communicating with God, you're relating to God, you're sharing with God. It's a beautiful way to live. Don't be a crisis prayer or a crisis Christian. I often think of the example of a man who drives his vehicle into the Spargs in Beacon Bay, the parking lot, and he's desperate for a parking space. And the place is packed. And he begins to pray and he says, God, if you can just give me a parking space, I'll love you, I'll follow you, I'll serve you. And all of a sudden he sees an empty one. He says, oh, don't worry, I'm sorted. All sorted, thanks, Lord. Folk, I'm telling you, as a pastor, I've seen this play out in different scenarios over 30 years. I've prayed for married couples who couldn't have children. And I've prayed for them to have children, and God in His grace has given them kids. A miracle. And within 4 or 5 years, they've slipped out of church. They've forgotten the goodness of God. In that moment, God, I want a child. God in His grace gives them a child, and then they forget. Don't be a crisis prayer. Incorporate God into every aspect of your life. I mean, imagine if I only spoke to Paula when I needed something from her. Paula may eventually be tempted to think that I'm using her, because I only call her when I want something. No, our faith needs to be consistent. Whether I work, whether I play, in my family, in my marriage, in every single area, I'm incorporating God into those different spheres. But it gets better. Look what Paul says. He says, let your requests, present your requests to God. I find that verse absolutely astonishing. There's an invitation from God to you. He says, what's on your heart? What's concerning you? What are you troubled about? Is there something going on in your life that's concerning you? Present that request to me, God says. What an invitation. How could you ever turn that down? The God of the universe, the God of history, is inviting you to bring Him into your life and circumstances. That's got to be a game changer. Wow, what an invitation from God. Bring your requests to me, God says. Jeremiah 33 verse 3 says this, call unto me, there's your invitation, and I will answer you, there's your promise. And I will tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. Ephesians 3 verse 20, Paul prays for the church in Ephesus. He prays, now unto Him who is able to do what? Immeasurably more than all we could ask or ever imagine. Isn't that encouraging, friends? Doesn't that encourage somebody this morning? God has no limits. He has no boundaries. No, there are many things that as human beings we just can't do. For us, they're impossible. God has no such limitations. Nothing about your life and your circumstances intimidates God. Nothing takes him by surprise. He is more than able to meet every single need that you have and more. He's able. Look what James, the brother of Jesus, says in his book. He says, you do not have because you do not ask. In other words, the power of God, the peace of God, the joy of God is available to you if only you would ask God for it. Some of you have forgotten to ask. You're battling through life, you're anxious, you're fearful. You've got a lack of joy, and God says, if only you would ask me for what you want, I've got the ability to meet that particular need. And I want to challenge you this morning, ask not just for your life, for your family, for your church, for your finances. Ask God for the nations of the world. Look what the psalmist says in Psalm 2 verse 8. It says, only ask, and I will give you the nations as your inheritance. And the ends of the earth is your possession. Why do we limit God? God, we pray for South Africa. We pray for Syria. We pray for Iraq. We pray for the UK. Lord, the nations. Not just my life and my stuff, but Lord, a bigger picture of what you're doing all over the world. Now, Paul sneaks in a word that is very important, but sometimes overlooked. And I'm sure this will be a challenge to many of you this morning. He says, when you pray, pray with thanksgiving. Pray with thanksgiving. And the order of the sentence is very interesting. Paul says, we thank God before we make our request to Him. In other words, before God's even answered your prayer, in fact, before you've told God what you need or what you want, you're already thanking Him. Isn't that amazing? The order is important. I thank God before I ask God. And I thank God before He even answers that particular prayer. You might say, Mark, why is the order important? Why do I thank God before? Let me tell you why. Folk, as a human being, your perspective on life is extremely limited. I'm so thankful God didn't answer some of the prayers I prayed years ago. If He had answered them, I would have been in serious trouble. Because in my finite mind, I thought I knew what I wanted. I thought I knew the direction of my life, but I was mistaken. And God in His grace said, Mark, no, not that prayer. You see, when you pray, recognize your limitations. You are a human being. You are not God. You see a limited perspective. God sees the big picture, the beginning from the end. And so when you pray, you say, Lord, I'm thanking you proactively because I know that in this situation, in this mess, you are going to do something that I could never even have imagined. You've got the whole thing in your hands, Lord. I've got a limited perspective. And so therefore, I thank you that you'll work this out, even this painful situation, this difficult situation, this confusing situation, Lord, you'll work it out for my benefit and for your glory. What peace. I'm not trying to figure out all the details. How's it going to work? Lord, I'm trusting you that in this mess, you'll work it out for my benefit and for the glory of your name. Sleep like a baby. Not restless, not fighting circumstances, trusting God in His sovereignty. Work it out, Lord, for the benefit of my life and for the glory of your name. No wonder Paul writes in Romans 8:28, he says, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him and who have been called according to His purpose. Think about the day Jesus Christ was crucified. People would have looked at the cross on that day, I guarantee you, and shaken their heads. I can't believe what's happening to Jesus. Think about all the good He did, all the people He helped. Think about all the promises He made, and now He's dead. Evil men have triumphed. The Son of God is dead. They would have had no perspective on the bigger picture than what they thought was a horrible, terrible, defeated situation was in fact the very moment God was reconciling the world to himself. In that moment that looked like weakness, the Son of God was bearing the sins of the world upon his shoulders, sickness and disease on his shoulders, and making it possible for you to be where you are today. You would not be here today. This church would not be here today were it not for that day. That looked like a failure. Oh, our perspective is limited, friends. In your situation, learn to trust God, to work it out for your good and for the glory of his name, and you will have peace. Some of you this morning, and I know because I know many of your situations, are finding it difficult to do that. Because your heart doesn't feel like praising God and worshiping God. You don't feel like being thankful because you're being overwhelmed by what you're going through. I understand that. When I saw Evie yesterday in hospital in her cancer situation, I'm sure it's difficult. She had tears streaming down her cheeks. Uncertainty. Some of you find it difficult in your current situation to be thankful and to worship God. I understand, I get that. But also understand that something supernatural, something powerful happens when you make the choice to rejoice in the face of the enemy. As the enemy army advances upon you and threatens to overwhelm you, will you make the choice to lift up your eyes and to rejoice and to worship God? I don't know what happens, but something shifts, something changes. And I always think of that wonderful story in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, where the Israelites were facing a massive enemy army. In fact, the numbers were so great, nobody could count them. A vast army was coming against the people of God. How did they respond? Let me show you. This is how they responded. They went out at the head of the army saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever." Now you put yourself in their shoes. There's a vast army coming against you with weapons. You could be facing death in a moment of time, and your response is, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. I'm worshiping in the face of opposition." Friends, I want to encourage you this morning. I know it's a difficult thing for some of you to do, but God is good. God is faithful. You are not just a number, you are a child. A son or a daughter of the Most High God. He knows the very details of your life. Nothing takes him by surprise. He sees what's coming against you. Make the choice in the face of that opposition to declare your praise, your worship, and your thanks to God. Worship him. How did God respond? As the people began to worship and thank him, this is what happened. As they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon and Mount Seir who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. How did they defeat the enemy? Through worship. Not a single bullet was fired. Not a single sword was used. That army, that enemy was defeated simply through the worship and praise of the people of God. Folks, that's your weapon. In the face of the enemy, in the face of opposition, declare who you know God to be. Worship him and praise him. Well, let's wrap it up with one last thought in a minute. The end result of living this way is verse 7, where Paul speaks about the peace of God guarding your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That word guard is a very interesting word. It's a military word. An army of soldiers would surround a city to protect it from enemy invasion. And so those inside the city could sleep in peace because they knew that around them was a strong army looking out for them, watching out for them, and protecting them. That's what the word God means. And friends, I want you to know that around your life, God is watching you, He's guarding you, He's keeping you safe. There may be chaos going on circumstantially. There may be a battlefield all around you, but the peace of God, it forms a circle around your mind and your heart. Your mind's your battlefield. Your heart is the essence of who you are. Your mind and your heart are being guarded by this army of peace. This is an incredible thing to visualize. And I pray that many of you this morning, in your context, in your situation, would receive an impartation right now of that amazing peace of God. May you feel that peace even now, guarding your mind. Those fearful thoughts, those anxious thoughts, may they be replaced by peace. Your heart that threatens to overwhelm you, may you experience the peace of God encircling your heart this morning. It's going to be okay. Because Jesus lives. It's going to be okay. Because your life belongs to Him. And He will never, ever leave you. He will never forsake you. So friends, I don't know what 2018 has in store for your life. That's not my place to know. But I do know there'll be many highlights. But as with Paul, also many times of great testing and challenge. But my prayer for you is that through it all, the good, the bad, and the ugly, you will make the choice to rejoice in Jesus. And you'll experience this amazing peace of God guarding your heart and guarding your mind. Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads in a moment of prayer. Father, we know that life isn't always easy. Life doesn't always seem fair. Lord, things don't always work out the way we thought they may work out. Sometimes there's pain. Sometimes there's sickness. Sometimes there's discouragement. But Lord, through all these things, I pray you'd help us to never lose perspective. Lord, you never promised life would be easy. You never said it would be a bed of roses. You promised us, Lord, that in this world we would have trouble. But Father, I pray today for those who are walking that road of difficulty, that you would give them the ability this morning to do something they've maybe never done before. Lord, to lift up their eyes above their circumstances, above their feelings, and to fix their gaze on Jesus, the author and finisher of their faith. Lord, may they find joy, not in the prison cell, but in the Lord this morning. May you be their source of joy and comfort this morning, Father, and peace. I pray, Lord, you guard their hearts, guard their emotions, guard their minds, encircle them this morning, Father, with your amazing and wonderful peace. Thank you, Lord. Lord, may we sleep well tonight. May we rest well, knowing our lives and our futures belong to you, our great and our faithful God. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' great name we pray. Amen. Amen.